Six with Mike.
BBC Radio Manchester Sport at six.
Good evening. No matter which way you look at it tonight, Valencia is the story. Another disappointing result for Manchester United yesterday against the Spanish club Valencia. And then Antonio Valencia went and liked and quickly unliked a post saying it's time for Mourinho to go. And so the debate goes on. Ben Thornley, the former Manchester United winger, is here to discuss it all with you and also talk about his new book, Tackled. Give us a ring, 0800 218 2255. Would love to hear from you and your opinions on the Reds tonight. Any questions you've got for Ben as well, of course. Tweet us at BBC RM Sport or text us 81333 and start your message with the letters MANC. This is BBC Radio Manchester and we are your local station for sport.
BBC Radio Manchester Sport at 6.
Quick tune to get us underway, then we'll introduce Ben and say hello to him. Blondie, Call Me on Sport at 6. Blondie, Call Me, BBC Radio Manchester. This is Sport at 6. We are going to introduce and say hello to the former Manchester United winger, Ben Thornley, very, very shortly. But as we approach 6:05...
BBC Radio Manchester, travel update.
Let's get the latest from Nick Robbins. Evening, Nick.
Good evening to you. We have some slow traffic on the anti-clockwise M60 at the moment, so if you're making your way between Junction 5 towards Junction 3, watch out for slow traffic there. The M56 towards the point where it meets the M60 again is looking quite slow. Staying with the M60 clockwise this time, though, around the Eccles interchange, watch out for some slow traffic around there. Regent Road looking better than it has done in the last hour or so, but we still have the slow traffic because of the work going on Regent Road. Dawson Street and Mancunian Way westbound towards Trinity Way looking quite slow as well just now. The northbound M6, the usual slow traffic towards the Lim interchange just now, and farther north heading up towards Newton Willows, that too is looking quite busy. Wellington Road, I mentioned this briefly in passing last time, we know now there are some emergency repairs going on, so if you're on Wellington Road south, the A6, both directions looking rather slow, whilst the lane closure in place, which is causing those delays for those roadworks, is in place there, so that is looking very slow. As I say, both directions, Wellington Road south looking very slow around the McDonald's and the Domino's. Updates, get in touch if you can on 0800 218 2255.
This is BBC Radio Manchester Sport at 6.
With Mike Miney until 7 o'clock tonight, then we're going to hand over to Emma Goswell and the Dead Good Show, brand new show for you on BBC Radio Manchester. Do give it a listen. It is quite a good laugh every weeknight, 7 until 10 here across 95.1 FM and digital radio, as well as online. Bill Rice, our Manchester United reporter, is going to join us very shortly in the second half of the show, as we'll chat all things to do with the Reds. You can give us a ring on 0800 218 2255, and we are also joined by this man, the former Manchester United winger, Ben Thornley. Evening to you, Ben.
Good evening, Mike.
Right, mate. We'll get it out of the way quickly, and then we'll come into it in more detail last night. Manchester United at the moment, 0-0 draw against Valencia last night. What did you make of that? You were there.
Yeah, I was. I was doing the commentary there, and it, you know, you're looking for a reaction because they've not won for 3 games. Everything sort of died down after the initial couple of games against Brighton and Spurs that we shipped 3 goals in. And we won 3 on the bounce away from home, and you think, great, and then all of a sudden you're back into that little bit of a lull again where you haven't won any games, you've not beaten teams that you expected to beat, Wolves, who, you know, with all intents and purposes outplayed us, and then knocked out of the Carabao Cup by a lower division side in Derby County, who came to Old Trafford and played very well on the night. So you're looking for a reaction, and it didn't really come last night. We've seen Valencia sides before, and they've arrived and we've been there, and it's been really, really tough. I didn't think they were a particularly good side, but with the final ball in the first half, especially from them, United could have found themselves, you know, 2 or 3 goals down. I think 0-0 at the end of the day was a fair result because both teams were poor offensively. The only thing that they can take out of it is a clean sheet, but it's a home game. You need to win your home games in Europe, and that's 2 points dropped as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, thankfully they had that win against Young Boys, of course. Right, the reason you're here is because you've got a brand new book out. It's called Tackled, Class of 92 Star Who Never Got to Graduate. We will come on to the title of the book in a moment, but I think when you look back on your career, the fact that you can say you were part of the class of 92 must fill you with a lot of pride and a lot of honour, really.
I was extremely fortunate, Mike, to walk into the Cliff training ground back in July of 1991 and look around, and, you know, back then it wasn't a huge thing, but then when you realise what these guys went on and achieved in the game, David Beckham, Gary Neville, Paul Scholes, there's something that you can say about all of them, the way that they've played the game and what they've achieved, and obviously what they've gone on to achieve subsequently. So we were a very, very fortunate group to all come through the door together. We were well guided by Sir Alex and by Eric Harrison, there's no question about that. And they were great times, not just for myself, but for all the lads, because that's where we got our grounding.
And what I like is when reading the bits of the book I've read, and also just chatting to you before we came on air, is that you're all still mates, you're all still in contact with each other, which shows the closeness that the group had, even from what is now over 25 years ago.
Yeah, very true. I think that it's not just the lads that I've mentioned, people like Chris Casper, John O'Kane, Robbie Savage, you forget about, who had a great career, Keith Gillespie as well. You know, all of them, because of the book and because of the launch that's coming up towards the end of this month, I've been in contact with them. And just last night, you know, Bex was at the game, Gary Neville I spoke to, Ryan Giggs, I spoke to to Scholesy on the phone. So yeah, we still have maintained that sort of camaraderie, that friendship, even though we don't see each other that often.
And as well as the academy coaches who would have helped you and nursed you through the early stages of your career, there is one man at the top of Manchester United whose name still brings so many memories to United fans, Sir Alex Ferguson. What impact did he have on your career? I know in your book he says you went over to him and he says, here's the lad who could have played for England. We'll come on to perhaps why in a moment, why that didn't happen. But the fact that he still remembers you, the fact that you still have that close connection with him, the fact that he held you in such high esteem that you could have played for England, what did Sir Alex have as an impact on your career?
Well, first and foremost, Mike, it's absolutely superb to learn that Sir Alex is on the mend after what
absolutely
happened to him back in May.
100%.
Yeah, you know, I've made inquiries over the time that he's been unwell, and it's brilliant to know that he's already been back at Old Trafford. I know that he's recuperating still from what was a terrifically terrible ordeal. But as a person, Sir Alex recognised straight away that he had a sort of special crop of youngsters, and he made sure that he nurtured us all. He made sure that we kept our feet on the ground and introduced us sporadically to train with the first team, just to give us a taste first of all. And because there were so many of those lads that excelled at such an early age, we got our debuts, most of us, before we were 18, 19 years of age. Some, I think, I can't remember, I think Gary may even have been just before his 18th birthday. So he recognised very, very quickly that this was a group of lads that were talented, and that he wanted to make sure that we were integrated, but also at the same time make sure that we were very much grounded too.
Which obviously then helped with the later success which came for those guys and yourself. In the early days, Gary Neville described you as so Salford. Obviously a Bury lad, but he says you were so Salford. David Beckham said, actually, one of the main things I remember from one of his first days at United is seeing this really good-looking tan kid with great hair. And that was you?
Yeah, well, that was 25 years ago. Yeah, it's amazing how some people manage to keep that and other people it just sort of disappears and wanes over time. So yeah, it was coming from him, that's a very flattering comment.
And then let's talk about the reason the book is called Tackled, Class of 92 Star Who Never Got to Graduate. This is because on April the 6th, 1994, a horrible, horrible time, and I was reading about it earlier, and it made my knees go a bit funny. You were on the wing, you were running down the wing, and one of the Blackburn players, the Blackburn right back, I think, wasn't it? Bad challenge into you, cut your standing leg, and effectively, well, not ended your career, because I know you did go on later, but it set you back a long way from where you had come. Obviously, at the time, there'll have been so much going around the stadium and going on in your head that I don't want to talk about that necessarily, but When you got to the hospital and once the operation had happened, what was going through your head at that time?
Looking at the state of what had been done, and obviously listening to the surgeon, Jonathan Noble, who, by the way, did an excellent job, I probably was thinking that was it. Listening to and judging by the comments that Jonathan Noble had made and you know, how much devastation he saw inside the knee at the time, I think that I'd resigned myself to the fact that if I can get up and I can walk freely rather than ever play football, then that would definitely be something. But with his expert hands, he sold me back together. I had brilliant rehabilitation advice and sort of overseen by Dave Fever, who'd just come into the club at the time from Wigan Rugby League, who had a history of dealing with those sorts of things because they were more common in rugby league. And with the hard work that I put in myself and with the constant sort of backing by the manager when I was feeling a little bit down, he'd give me the time to go away. Because it is slightly soul destroying, especially when you're in a gym and you're going through the summer. All the lads are coming back and they're filtering back because of when the injury happened. I was in the gym at the time over June and July when they're all coming back for pre-season, and it can get a little bit down. Get down, and it's hard work to try and motivate yourself. And I had wonderful people around me, not just my friends and family, but obviously the club gave me every chance to get back to not to the level that I was at before, because it quite quickly became apparent that that was never going to happen, but to give me the chance to at least go on and have a career.
And you did go on to play for Manchester United again, which is the positive. Gary Neville's quote here is, after his injury, Ben was on a downer and floated towards things that he would never normally have done. What did he mean by that? What sort of places did you go to?
I probably, even at such an early age, I probably decided that I was going to try and have a drink. I was maybe comfort eating, which you know, and even to this day, I always have a problem maintaining a decent weight, which is why I have to work hard at it to make sure that I don't balloon, because I have the type of body now where that will happen very, very easily if I neglect it. And at the time, I probably did do that. And I mean, you'd have to probably ask Gary himself what he really meant specifically by that. But I spent a lot of time with guys around the, you know, my late teens and early 20s. So he will know what he meant by that, but probably without going into specifics, so that people didn't realise how bad it actually got.
How do you feel about it? Almost 25 years on, 6th of April 1994 is when it happened. This horrible challenge. You write in the book. That he at the Blackburn right back had time to pull out. He didn't need to make the tackle, and then it's in italics, but he wanted to, which obviously still to me says 25 years on, this is still quite raw for you, and emotionally painful, I guess. But how do you look back on it now, 25 years on?
Well, in all fairness, it's gone now. It is gone. I can still relive it if I want to. You know, I have a video archive that if I wanted to, I've got access to go and see it. But there's no real point in reliving what, you know, what happened and what might have been. I still maintain that those exact words that you said, that it was a tackle that didn't need to be made. It was a tackle that was probably made out of frustration, because an 18-year-old kid was giving an experienced player a little bit of a run around. But I have no malice towards him whatsoever now. At the time, maybe, and yes, there's no question that injury did cost me certainly the chance to have a career like the other lads had at Manchester United. But I'm not bitter about it anymore. I still, with all intents and purposes, I still have my health. My knee is just about intact. I'm still playing, so there's no point in me reliving what might have been. I'm grateful for all the support that I've been given, not just with the book, but throughout the whole of my footballing career, from friends and from family. I've made a lot of friends doing it, not just at Manchester United, but elsewhere as well. And you just need to take the positives out of it. There are negatives, obviously, but there's no point in dwelling on those, because they'll just eat you up from the inside. And I don't want to become a bitter and twisted person. I'm still enjoying life. I still smile when I'm walking around, and that has to be the way that I need to continue.
And the most important thing as well, I know you haven't to this day, would you meet him, this Blackburn right back? Would you have a conversation with him? Would you want to?
No, I probably wouldn't want to, no. And I mean, he might be an incredibly nice person, but I don't even want to get into the subject of whether he is or whether he isn't. It isn't something that I would do. I did come across him again when I played in a reserve game. I think it was a year, maybe 2 years later, but no more than that. He played in a different position. I wasn't directly against him, and I certainly didn't make a point of going over to shake his hand at the end, nor he did mine. So we'll just leave it at that. It happened. It was extremely unfortunate, but it's gone now.
And from then on, as you say, you went to rebuild your career, starting at Manchester United again. But then you moved on to the likes of Huddersfield, Aberdeen, Blackpool, and locally for us, Bury again. Yeah. But the story about Bury is quite interesting, isn't it? You signed 2003, 2 assists on your debut, and then kicked out because they couldn't afford you.
Yeah, it was very unfortunate, and it's really strange and ironic, really, that the team that I was playing against was Huddersfield Town. Who I did the 2 assists against, and they were struggling. They weren't struggling financially, but they had one of the lowest budgets in the league. And my old youth team friend Chris Casper was there in his capacity as youth team manager. And it was just a little bit after I'd gone that Andy Priest, the then manager, was given the sack, and they couldn't afford to bring somebody in from outside, so they replaced the management position from somebody within, and that was Chris. But unfortunately, it turned out that that it was still a no-go because the money situation there was dire. I think there were even conference clubs that had a bigger wage bill than Bury. So that was sad because it would have been nice to have worked under Chris.
And then from after Bury, you went into the non-league, Halifax, Bay Cup, Borough, Salford City before they had the takeover of the class of 92. You were there before the real takeover happened. You were there. And Witton Albion as well. So despite everything that happened in 1994, you've had a very, very good career.
I have had a good career. There's no question that it could have been better, and I mentioned things in the book that I could have definitely worked harder at any of those clubs that you've just mentioned that I was at to fulfil a little bit more of my ambition that I certainly had when I was at Old Trafford. For one reason or another, I didn't do that, and I look back at that with regret. If you like, with regret, but there's nothing I can do to change it now. I've got other things in that are going on at the time. Well, right now, and you can't change history.
Plenty more to come from Ben throughout the evening on Sport at 6, BBC Radio Manchester. Ben Thornley then tackled the class of 92 star who never got to graduate. He's out on the 15th of October, so just in 12 days' time.
BBC Radio Manchester Travel Update.
Ben's going to talk all about his beloved Manchester United and what he makes of their on-the-pitch affairs in just a moment. Bill Rice, our Manchester United reporter, will join us too. First, Nick Robbins.
Thank you very much. Well, the eastbound A57, if you're approaching the Denton Island, it is looking rather slow there just at the moment. The work continues on Regent Road, of course. That is causing some delays. One minute it is quiet, the next minute it is quite slow. So at the moment, it's quite slow heading towards Trinity Way. Similarly, Dawson Street and the Mancunian Way looking quite busy. That's the A57, again towards Trinity Way. The clockwise M60 around the Eccles Interchange, some slow traffic there. And the eastbound M62 just before the Eccles Interchange, so heading from Birchwood towards Manchester. Watch out for slow traffic because of those roadworks there. And a lane closure. Also, Wellington Road South in both directions in Stockport have some delays. Emergency repairs continue near Norbury Street, near the McDonald's and Domino's. So if you know where that is, that's where the delays are. There's a lane closure in place there in both directions, hence those delays. And clockwise on the M60, slow traffic between Junction 4 for the M56 and the Stockport Pyramid Junction 1. Congestion as a result of that back towards the Princess Parkway Junction 5, so very busy there too. Any updates, call us on 0800 218 2255.
Weekday afternoons with Becky Watt.
It's that time again when us Mancunians get to don our best bibs and responsible drinking boots and dive into all the cosmopolitan cuisines on offer at the Manchester Food and Drink Festival. I'll of course be joined by my bevy of Becky's Lunchtimers, BLTs, who I hope will refrain occasionally from filling their faces. Whilst we hear from a whole range of restaurateurs and foodies, and we'll sample their finest offerings. Strictly in the name of research, of course. Yum and indeed yum. Join me, Becky Wand, live at the Manchester Food and Drink Festival.
Becky Wand.
Friday from noon.
BBC Radio Manchester.
BBC Radio Manchester Sport at 6.
Going to be talking all about the Reds next then. 0800 218 2255 to have your say straight after Justin Timberlake.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And under the lights when everything goes, nowhere to hide when I'm getting you close. When we move, well, you already know. So just imagine. You when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on.
something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, rock the way we rock it, so don't stop, stop. You when you dance, dance, dance. Feel the good, good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance, dance, dance. And ain't nobody leaving soon, so keep dancing. I can't stop the feeling. So just dance.
Timberlake, Can't Stop the Feeling, a song that certainly got Ben Thornley smiling all over in the studio. He's very impressed with that song, likes it a lot. Bill Rice, yet to be convinced, I think, our Manchester United reporter. Stunned into silence, no opinion on Justin Timberlake. Thought, right, for the next 40 minutes then, or so, 30 minutes or so, we're going to talk Manchester United with Bill Rice, as mentioned, our Manchester United reporter, and Ben Thornley, former Manchester United winger, who's in the studio ready to talk to you on 0800 218 2255 to have your say on the Reds. We touched on it beforehand, before we spoke about your new book, Ben, which is called Tackled, the class of 92 star who never got to graduate. It's out a week on Friday. We spoke about Manchester United against Valencia, then dived into the performances against Derby and Wolves, which are ultimately disappointing. We are going to talk Mourinho after 20-7, but what about the players, Ben? Are they performing as well as they could at the moment for the manager, for the fans, for the owners, for whoever? Are they ultimately being 100% every game?
Well, they're not performing as we know that they can, because if they did, then the previous results from the games that we've just had, they would have won. I think that to say that they're not trying, I think he's going a little bit too far. But if there are people out there that do actually believe that, then that is something that needs addressing straight away, because the minimum requirement for a footballer is to make sure that you go out and you give your best. In fact, that's for any walk of life. You go out, you give 100%, but when you are wearing a Man United shirt, and I know what that feels like, and there'll be other people that I know are scathing, friends of mine, players that we've already spoken about that are scathing about the way things are going at Manchester United at the moment, they know what it feels like, and it is hurtful. If you go to Old Trafford and you see players that are not giving 100% for that shirt, and I firmly believe that is, like I said, the minimal requirement and the minimum requirement to go out and play. But these lads are talented players. They are talented players. They proved it. They went to the Etihad last year. Whether the shackles were off second half because they had nothing to lose, it worked. And they proved what a very, very good side they are. And they did it on many occasions last season. This season, I'm sort of no idea what's going on.
Bill, you were at that Derby game at the Etihad Stadium. What was it that day? Just it all clicked and it's not clicked quite since?
I think on another day, United could have easily lost that Derby. I mean, City should have been out of sight at half-time. There was a response after the break. Whatever the manager or the players said in the dressing room at half-time had the desired effect. But towards the end, City were pushing for the equaliser again. United had a purple patch in that game where they managed to turn it on its head. They played brilliant for a few minutes rather than even a half a game, never mind a full game. And they haven't been able to recreate that this season. I thought they'd made progress under Jose Mourinho. I really did, from the first season where they finished outside the top four but got Champions League football by winning the
two
Europa
trophies,
League. You
yeah.
know, the backdoor route, if you like. Last season, drastic improvement on the league form, finishing second above Spurs, Liverpool, all those other teams. And yet it feels like it's gone backwards from a pretty torrid pre-season to me. And I just fear United are going in the wrong direction.
Well, this is what the former United striker Dion Dublin, who was part of our commentary team on BBC Radio Manchester last night, had to say.
I hate to call out players, but, you know, this is Man United. It's Champions League night. You're at home against Valencia and you cannot put a performance in like that. You just can't do it. There's something fundamentally wrong with the balance and the togetherness of this football club.
Ben Thornley, that's pretty much what you said.
Yeah, and funnily enough, Dion was a couple of rows in front of me in the press box last night, and he said those exact words to me just fleetingly as the half-time whistle went. Again, it's proving what I just said. United players are absolutely...
Well,
no.
You're looking for a response, aren't you? We were waiting for it after Derby. We didn't get it against West Ham. Performance even worse in many respects. You're waiting for it, you know, against Valencia. Start was okay, then it faded off. Second half, they gave it a bit of a go. But I haven't seen enough. You know, United used to really take a defeat personally and respond to it. And whatever the reasons, and we don't know what they are, but the players just don't seem to be performing now. Is that the manager's fault? Have the players lost faith in the project? Is it a confidence issue? I don't know, but it isn't working at the moment, and it's looking increasingly likely to me that the manager will go, because I just don't see him being able to turn this round. But I think he'll be given as long as possible to do it.
Whatever is going wrong, it needs sorting quick. Ben, in your opinion, is when we talk about the players, as I said, we'll do Mourinho after 20-7 on BBC Radio Manchester, is it that they're perhaps not in the right positions? We talk about, Scott McTominay was a centre-back against West Ham, which is just not his position. Paul Pogba gets moved around. We know that Jose spoke about his best position before or being questioned by the press. I actually saw a funny tweet today about Alexis Sanchez saying this was his best performance in a Manchester United shirt when he was playing the piano. He's not quite clicked at Manchester United since his January transfer, has he? So what is it? Is it that players are out of position, or is there something else there as well?
I don't think they're out of position. I mean, maybe for me, Juan Mata, when he plays, he probably is played out of position because he needs a more central role. But he hasn't really featured, at all this season. It's a real tough one, because no matter what position you play in, I think the performance levels have to be higher and better than what we've seen. I mean, last year, United didn't concede many. They were the only team in Europe to not concede three goals all season. And already, they've done it three times: at West Ham, at home to Spurs, and at Brighton. But on top of that, they were scoring goals as well last season. I commentated on numerous games where they ran out 4-0 winners.
Hasn't helped, though, has it, that the defence has been changed, pretty chopped and changed.
He doesn't
all
know
the
his
time.
Best team.
He doesn't seem to know what his best back four is, or back five, whatever it may be.
He doesn't know his best team, or certainly his best defence. I mean, you just picked up there on Scott McTominay playing as one of the centre-halves.
And Herrera played centre-back as well one game,
absolutely.
Didn't he?
And you've got Eric Bailly there on the bench.
What game was that?
I can't even remember what game it was now.
It was.
Was it the Tottenham game? It was, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
The 3-0?
Yeah.
So in the two games where he's played a centre-back that isn't a centre-back, United have shipped three goals. Out of position.
And he actually did all right first off, Ander Herrera, but I mean, the only thing everyone remembers is you lost 3-0 at home.
Yeah. Ben?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said,
it just doesn't make sense, does it? This is what I'm
especially when
I'm struggling with.
When he's got defenders there,
is he making a point because he didn't get the defenders in the summer that he wanted?
That's what I wonder. He clearly wanted a ball playing centre back over the summer, didn't get the one he wanted, and you know he's threatened to put Matic in there. He's played Herrera in there. He played McTominay at the weekend. I do wonder whether he's saying, look, I haven't got the players I need here.
But almost Matic, I understand, because he's got a bit of height about him. He's built. He can, you know, he does make a good challenge. But McTominay hasn't got that ability. You know, Herrera's not of that stature to be a centre-back. You know, at least with Matic, it might make sense.
All but the more reason to need a new signing.
Exactly. Is it a point? Is it a message to Ed Woodward upstairs?
I haven't really looked at it from that angle, but I suppose if Jose Mourinho is trying to get a message across in a roundabout way, then playing players that you don't expect to play in those positions is certainly one way of doing it, especially if the results are not going.
And if you're trying to get a message about who they should go and get in January or next summer, you need to get some results first, because you might not be around in January or next summer if your team doesn't win games. I mean, it's brutal.
Well, it's not only that, Bill, but if you're not winning games, then you're not playing in the competitions that attracting those sort of players are going to want to come. So it is a bit of a vicious circle. You need to make sure that your team is doing well to attract these players want to come, because anybody who's going to come to Manchester United will inevitably not come unless they're playing in the Champions League, and at this moment in time they're way off that.
And just when we thought it couldn't get much worse off the pitch for Manchester United, Antonio Valencia goes and makes a social media hash last night when he liked a post that said it's time for Mourinho to go. What we read into that, it's up to you, whether he meant anything by it, whether it was just a slip. We all know how easy it is to double tap on Instagram and find that, and then you've liked it all of a sudden and you've got to find a way of deleting it. Well, earlier today, BBC Radio Manchester's Jack Ranson spoke to Harry Hugo. He's a social media expert. He manages large social media accounts for sports stars, including the likes of F1's Nico Rosberg, or the former F1 driver, I should say. And he says it can be hard if they choose to manage their own social media accounts.
I think it's so difficult to get right, and when you're put in a position where you can talk to everybody, where you're influencing them at a drop of a hat, and when emotions are running high, especially in sport, it's very, very hard to get that right in the right ways. And also, these guys are not PR experts, they're not marketing experts, or very few of them are. Some of them have cracked it, but these guys are doing PR and marketing when previously other people have looked after that, for athletes and for high-profile celebrities. And these guys just aren't doing that. And we're now in a world where you can do it so quickly and make so many mistakes so quickly, and also things that are very difficult to retract. And unlike most things, when you delete it, people forget about it. On social media, with the ability to screenshot and bring it up and up again, it's very difficult to ignore and forget.
Talking of Manchester United, we've seen Paul Pogba, you know, his whole thing on Instagram. He posted a video and that sort of caused a bit of a grift with Jose Mourinho, it seemed. And then Antonio Valencia has now had to say sorry for liking an Instagram post. It just seems like an absolute impossible to
emotions
navigate.
Emotions running high.
Yeah.
His emotions running high. And these guys are kids. I mean, we forget, especially footballers, these guys, especially looking at Paul Pogba, this guy's, you know, he's only been in the world for as long as I have. You know, he's a 23-24-year-old guy. You know, these things don't come naturally. And when you're in such a high intensity, high pressure environment like Paul Pogba is, when you're you know, have the pressure of the price tag and everything like that, you know, things you do are not necessarily the right thing to do at that time. Someone like Valencia should know better. He's an experienced player. He's gone through this for a long period of time. But, you know, again, it's just when you're doing it, you're just thinking, oh, it's just a double tap. It's just a like, something that I've done on hundreds of photos before. What's it going to mean? And then people don't make that connection to the real world and actually what that means if it was, you know, if we took it back 20 years and they just agreed with a press release to Paul Pogba's statement publicly, and that's what he's doing. He's just approving it, and that's just wrong. They're not thinking about it.
And the thoughts on Antonio Valencia's Instagram mistake yesterday. Let's bring in Steve in Worsley. Evening, Steve.
Good evening.
You are through to Ben Thornley, former United winger, and Bill Rice, our Manchester United reporter as well. Fire away, mate.
Right, Ben and Jack and Bill. Here's my point. If you look at Mourinho in the closed season, he actually openly, everybody knew at the club that Jones and Smalley weren't good enough, right? And he wanted to get rid of them two, right? We've ended up keeping them. Now, in the close season, he could have got Ronaldo, but he said, I don't want Ronaldo, I don't want him. And the reason is, I don't want to spend all my money on one marquee signing. I need two or three players. He ended up getting Fred for 60 million quid. He could have got Ronaldo for 90 million. And this is, I think it is, Ed Woodward's fault. We've ended up getting Fred, who's not got in the team, but he's nearly cost virtually as much as what Ronaldo would have cost, and no one else has come in. And here's what I think. I think there's a bit of a conspiracy theory, because everybody's saying he's fell out with him. He's got a second in command there in Michael Carrick. And Michael Carrick, club captain last season, there's no way Carrick would allow it to happen.
Steve,
I think the Manchester Evening News just makes it up. That's what I think. And we
I'm sure there is something to it, Steve, when they report it. They won't just make it up. But just stay there, Steve. We'll speak to you on the other side of the travel.
BBC Radio Manchester Travel Update.
So plenty more to come from Steve, from Ben, from Bill and from myself. First, plenty more to come from Nick Robbins.
Yes, you're right. Denton, eastbound on the A57, looking quite slow towards junction 24 of the M60. Some delays to be had there. Regent Road is back to looking quite busy again, so heading off the M602 towards Trinity Way because of the roadworks and the lane closure. That is causing some delays. Similarly, Dawson Street and Mancunian Way have been busy all afternoon westbound towards Trinity Way, again towards the scene of the roadworks. The clockwise M60 around the Eccles Interchange, watch out for slow traffic around there. Bolton Road, Pendlebury, the A666 is looking quite heavy through the road works again. They're partially blocking the road, those works are, near the McDonald's, so that causing some slow traffic. The clockwise M60 between junction 4, the M56 junction 1 and the Stockport Pyramid looking slow. In fact, the congestion back towards junction 5 for the Princess Parkway, and the eastbound M56 around Sharston junction 2 is busy too. The delays there back towards the Hale Four Seasons roundabout. Any updates, let us know if you can. The number is 0800 218 2255.
Alan Bezick's late night phone-in, BBC Radio Manchester.
Do you remember ever getting a hoax call from a guy who pretended to be Fred Didner?
I have another relative who I don't even know where they are now. I'm driving down Deansgate with my children in the car, passing an uncle they've never met.
I've seen lots of farm gate signs in my time. I saw one today from the bus which said, alpaca poo, £3 a bag.
They're charging for it.
Alan Bezick's late night phone-in.
Good Lord.
Tonight from 10, BBC Radio Manchester. BBC Radio Manchester Sport at 6.
Welcome back to Sport at 6, then, final part of the show before we hand over to Emma Goswell and the Dead Good Show tonight at 7 o'clock on BBC Radio Manchester. Ben Thornley, former Manchester United winger, is still with you, as is Bill Rice, our Manchester United reporter, as is Steve in Worsley, a very angry Manchester United fan, saying...
No, I'm not an angry United fan, mate.
Frustrated?
I think we ended up getting rid of Van Gaal. Van Gaal was stabbed in the back. And I think somehow we're going to end up stabbing Mourinho in the back.
Who's stabbing him in the back? Who's end
this
goal?
This season, he didn't get Ronaldo, and he said, "I don't want to spend all my money," and that is a fact.
I asked Jose about this a while ago, and he said Ronaldo was never on the table for us this summer. Now maybe he would say that once you haven't got him, but he was asked the question, you know, were you ever interested, did you want Ronaldo, did he want to come, and he said it was never a deal that was going to be done.
But Steve, what you're saying, mate, is you're saying someone is effectively, someone upstairs is stabbing Van Gaal in the back, has stabbed Jose Mourinho back. Who is doing this and for what end game?
Well, what I'm saying is, if you look at the back four United, we've got two 30-odd year old fullbacks that were both wingers, and we've got two centre halves that are stumps, probably the worst centre halves in the division, and we wonder why we're not winning.
That's why he wanted to spend the money on defenders rather than on Ronaldo.
Let's give Ben a say. Steve, let Ben have his say.
today.
No, it's all right. It's not a problem. I'm happy to listen to you, Steve, because this is what it's all about. It's people making opinions.
Here's what I'm saying. If he'd have known in the close season, after the European Cup when Real Madrid beat Liverpool, Ronaldo was going, and he put in for a transfer. He said, "I want a goal," right? And so for me, everybody in football knew Ronaldo was going, right? But we had a certain amount of money to spend. It might have been 150 million, right? And he expected to, say, get the Tottenham centre-half in. He expected to get the Leicester centre-half in. And we ended up getting nobody. We got Fred. But we spent 60-odd million on Fred. And he's not played for the last four games.
Steve, where does Ronaldo play in this team? And how does that stop United conceding goals?
Well, I'll tell you what, right? When we won the European Cup 2 years ago, we had Ibrahimovic up front. And Ibrahimovic was world-class, right? We had Ibrahimovic. Ibrahimovic went, and we've not replaced a 36-year-old, a 37-year-old, right?
We were winning with Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, but Lukaku's not that great neither. If you're honestly, if you're deadly honest, Lukaku, it reminds me of Sterling at City. He actually needs four chances to put one away.
They used to say that about Andy Cole, though, didn't they?
Steve, very, very quickly, right, because I've got to go to a song on Radio Manchester. I want you to tell me, right, you've got three players in January that you can sign. Go.
Well, we want a centre-forward for me.
Right.
And we want two centre-halves. So I'd definitely go for Harry Maguire. Harry Maguire, and I'd get that Toby Alderweireld, wherever he is at Tottenham.
Alderweireld, yeah.
We need two centre-halves. We can't play Maguire with Jones and Smalling because they'll ruin him. They've ruined, but, you know, we've got, you know, you've got to get rid of them both and get two decent centre-halves in.
I think that's what he was trying to do, though, wasn't it? He was trying to sign defenders.
He's never got anybody. That's the thing. Right. You can't lose what we've lost. At Tottenham last year, Jones at Middlesbrough, Smalling, the mistakes they made were schoolboy errors. They were total schoolboy errors. And everybody was, oh, jeez, we've got to get rid of them. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, we've still got them.
Yeah, but John Stones makes mistakes at the back for Manchester City as well, Stephen. No one's calling for him to go. Ben, anything to add on that? Or are you just thinking that, you know, it's well established that Manchester United need some more centre-backs, some more defenders?
I would be fed up if I was Fred, I must admit, that he didn't get into the team last night. I was fully expecting him to play, I'll be perfectly honest. And I think he may be somebody that United could use, and certainly 50-odd, £60 million player sitting on the bench is not good.
Ben, Bill, back with you very, very shortly, right after. Bit of U2 on BBC Radio Manchester. Even better than the real thing. Possibly quite apt right now. Ben's enjoying another good song, he says. He's going to sit back and enjoy this for the next 3.5 minutes.
You're the real thing.
bit of U2 on Sport at 6. Even better than the real thing. As I said, quite apt perhaps for Manchester United at the moment. Right, for the next 10 minutes, let's talk. We've done the players. Let's talk all about the manager and Jose Mourinho. Ben Thornley, former United winger, still here, as is Bill Rice, our Manchester United reporter. And I want to start with this, gents. I was down at Northampton v Bury last night, and there's a player for Northampton called Andy Williams. And he used to play for Doncaster Rovers, who I used to do quite a bit of work at the club there. He said to me afterwards, I spoke to him about his working under Darren Ferguson, Sir Alex's son. And he said to me, his quote was, "I don't think that Darren liked me as a player," which is why he's since moved to Northampton, "but I had a lot of respect for him as a manager." And on the drive home, I thought about that quote. And I actually thought, Ben, I don't think United players would say that about Mourinho. I don't think if Rashford left, if Lingard left, he'd go, "I'm not sure that Mourinho liked me as a player, but I had a lot of respect for him." I think there's Mourinho's lost his grip a little bit.
It's possible. I mean, obviously, I'm not really qualified because I'm not inside the dressing room to be able to answer that. But somebody of the calibre of Jose Mourinho when he came into the club, with everything that he's won in the game, not just in England with Chelsea, but you know, he went to Italy, he went to Spain. And I for one was really excited about him coming in, and I still think that he doesn't, you know, go from being a good manager to a poor manager overnight. In terms of the respect thing, like I said, I'm not inside the dressing room, so I wouldn't know. I would like to think that these lads do have respect for a man that he's trying to guide them through, certainly to the top of the Premier League, as Bill's already alluded to. You know, his first season, he won trophies. Okay, they were outside, but they got the backdoor route. They went to Europe. And then last year, we finished second, but still, disappointingly, a country mile behind Manchester City.
But ahead of everyone else.
But ahead of everybody else, yeah. So that has, you know, that has definitely improved. I can't see that happening this season. And whether that is due to things that are going on off the field, everybody's going to speculate about that.
The world has changed as well. Alex Ferguson, when he took over United, they were just outside the relegation zone, maybe even in the relegation zone. First season got them to 13th. Second season, they finished second. No, 11th they finished his first season. Second season, they finished second behind Liverpool. And then his third season in charge, they finished 13th. No manager would survive that these days. Because if
chance.
You're out the top four, you're
not
gone.
Not a chance.
At any of them big clubs.
They don't have it.
So you know, Mourinho, things are going backwards right now. That doesn't mean he can't turn it round. I have to say, I fear it's only going to end one way. But he could still turn this round. But you're not going to get as much time as you did in years gone by.
Let's speak to Terry and Walter then, two Manchester United fans who've called up Sport at 6 tonight. Evening, gents.
Hiya.
Right, let's start with you, Terry. Where do you lie on the Mourinho respect boundaries?
Well, I respect him for it because he's won everything and done everything.
Terry, your line's not great, mate. We'll come back to you in a moment. Walter, what about you?
Well, Mourinho, Jose, is a winner, a born winner. He's proved it in 3-4 countries. He's won so many titles. It's just amazing. But he speaks the truth. What he said was that at the beginning of the season, this is going to be a difficult season. I want such and such a player. I want this player, that player. And United, with all the money that they've got, they should have gone for at least a centre-half or a winger or even another striker. Because at the moment, Sanchez is not proving, you know, what he did at Arsenal or at Barcelona. He seems completely lost. I've been speaking to City fans today saying United should never have turned up. You know, they were that late yesterday coming to the ground. They should never have just turned up.
And they've now been fined for that, Walter, as we know. Or UEFA are going to charge them with it. Terry, yeah. You're back with us now, hopefully with a better signal, mate. What did you want to say?
Basically, well, I think what I said on today, producer, I think Mourinho's won everything, done everything, been everywhere, seen everything. But between him and Van Gaal, they've totally ruined this team. You've got to look and now say, did Moyes get a proper chance, really? And if Mourinho got up in the morning and decided to play football, the United way to be another chance for him,
well,
I think.
That's what Gary Neville said the other week, wasn't it, in his tweet. He said when they sat at Moyes after 8 months, that's when the value started to go. Can I read you something as well, gents? 3 years ago today, Chelsea lost at home to Southampton, and Mourinho came out with this amazing seven-minute post-match interview. One question, seven-minute answer. And in that, he said, if the club sacks me, they sack the best manager this club has ever had. This was about Chelsea, admittedly, not Manchester United. He then went on to say...
You can't say that at United, can he?
No, exactly. But then he went on to say... this is the message that not just these players, but other ones before that they got during a decade. I think this is a moment for everybody to assume responsibilities. I assume my responsibilities. I think the players should assume their responsibilities. There are other people at the club that should also assume their responsibilities and stick together. This is what I want. Is history repeating itself? Are people not standing up and taking responsibilities?
I do worry about the lack of leaders in this dressing room right now. I look around sometimes and I think who out there is showing, who's taking responsibility, who's trying to drag the team through bad performances. And however you feel about Paul Pogba and some of his behaviour on social media, he's one of the few players that he's always out there looking for the ball and trying to make something happen. So he's trying to make a positive impact on the game. He's had some shocking games, but he's never hidden on the pitch, and that's one of the few things I'd give him credit for.
Terry, you still there, mate?
Yeah, smashing sound. I think we're still suffering from the Van Gaal era, because I think he totally decimated... he decimated the champions, basically. You can't really give Moyes the blame for all that.
So how long does Mourinho need then, Terry? Because he's had over 2 years already.
If I was in a pub tonight with Jose Mourinho, I had a chance to say one thing. I'd say, Jose, wake up in the morning and go and play football the way Liverpool are playing now, which is how United got brought up on. That's our football. That's why we won the league.
You want to play football to how your biggest rivals play it?
And they are our rivals, by the way. Don't get carried away with the council house over the road. They're not our rivals. Our rivals are Liverpool. They've won it 18 times. We've won it 20. They've won the European Cup 5. We've won it 3. We have to inspire to
history that, Walter. Terry, history that. What's the future?
Football heritage.
Play football, our United fans like to see playing football, and they give them a chance. But this tippy-tappy rubbish that we're playing at the moment and we're getting no results from it, it's rubbish. We've got the players who can play football. We have. They've got rid of some brilliant, brilliant players between him and Van Gaal. Van Gaal started the rot.
What about you, Walter? Walter, what are you saying, mate?
Well, I agree with the guy who's saying that Van Gaal did the rot, but the rot set in like they said when they got rid of Moyes, because Woodward has got this thing about we'll make money, not as a football team, not as entertaining football team, we'll make money. And that is totally wrong. The people want to see the best players because it's Manchester United. It's the biggest, best name known all over the world.
Yeah, the world's...
North, south, east, anywhere.
World's most famous football club.
United.
World's biggest football club. Walter, Terry, thanks very much for your time on BBC Radio Manchester tonight. Really appreciating some strong views there, Ben.
Yeah, there are. I've only really got one thing to say, and that is I don't want to see Manchester United being a club that constantly changes the manager. I think they've got a superb manager there at the moment. Yes, I can agree and wholeheartedly with sometimes the way that Manchester United approach games, but I don't want to see him become a club that keep changing the manager every 12, 18 months.
And I think Manchester United want to back the manager. Everything I'm hearing, everything I understand, suggests to me that they want Jose Mourinho to turn this round and to carry the club forward. I don't think he'll get sacked, whatever happens against Newcastle on the weekend. But if they don't win that game, I think the noise gets louder and louder, doesn't it? Some people are going to be calling for his head.
Yeah, a win acts as a temporary distraction. Let's quickly touch on that game then. Newcastle, this is a side that traditionally Manchester United have a good record against, but you probably could have said the same for Derby, for Wolves and possibly Valencia as well.
Yeah, I think all records have gone out the window this season, Mike, there's no question. But they're struggling, Newcastle. And this is a real opportunity for United to get 3 points on the board that they badly, badly need.
You'd probably rather it was at St James's Park than Old Trafford in a way, though. That's the thing.
Because if Newcastle went behind, the fans would be on.
I think either club are under pressure from their home supporters to perform. I think that's the difference. And United have got to do it in front of the fans at Old Trafford.
So are you confident, Ben, this weekend?
Yes, I have to be. Yeah, I have to be. There's no question, because after recent results, only a win will do this weekend.
Bill? How are you feeling ahead of that game?
I'm never confident. I do think United should win the game. I think they have to put in a performance sooner rather than later. So, yeah, a win, and then let's go to the international break and,
and all
stop
have a breather.
Talking about it for
yeah,
a while.
Let's
please.
Have 2 weeks off. Bill Rice, Manchester United reporter Ben Thornley, former United winger, thanks very much for your time on Sport at Six tonight. Ben's new book then tackled, the class of 92 graduate. The class of 92 man who never got to graduate. His book's out a week on Friday. Make sure you give it a read. Right now, though, on BBC Radio Manchester,